This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Well, I'm Jan, and we came to the conference as part of a group of women from the Lesbian Elders Village group in Auckland. And we came to run a workshop, which we did this morning, in which Ruth's actually already been archived talking about some of those issues. So, and also, it's the first chance I've had to come to a lesbian games, even though I wasn't here for the games. So, yeah. So, to be around other gay and lesbian people, to enjoy the conference, and yeah.
What are the issues with ageing queer populations?
Invisibility, no services, lack of safety. Shall I count the ways? mainstreaming to the point of utterly not acknowledging that lesbians or gays or anyone LGBTI could have anything outside of what your heteronormative population needs would be. And impossibility of getting a double bed in a retirement home for you and your lover to go there. Lots of things.
I think it's hard enough for a heterosexual couple to get a double bed, but I imagine it would be impossible for
to keep functioning as a lesbian in a kind of lesbian positive way. Like, for many of us, we came out, you know, like I came out in about 1979. We fought all those battles. I don't intend to go back into the closet in my old age. I'm 67 years old. None of that those services exist now. One of the things we reported on was that the government has done many reports on the aging in this country, and not one of them has made any reference to the LGBTI communities.
This all sounds very scary.
It is very scary. I think it's a very scary thought to, like a number of people in our group have had personal experiences of having a partner having to go into an aged care facility and they're not even at all being recognised as a significant person in their life when they'd lived together for years and loved together. So
it is how much the birth family then gets the control, like in one of the cases, the family was really homophobic. She wasn't even contacted when her lover of many years died, like immediate, you know, that day. Because right then they buried, she wasn't invited to the funeral either. And those are the stories that existed in Aotearoa in the 70s, you know.
But this happened 3 or 4 years ago.
That's so. Right. You know, so that's what I'm saying. We fought those battles as younger women, and we don't want to. It's so clear. We are going to get old. We need to have places that are lesbian positive and safe. And one of the things we mentioned at our workshop is if you just a month ago or less, Juliet Lee and Lindsay Kerner were burnt out and mungify heads. And so aging lesbians, isolated aging lesbians, are really at risk unless we have community. And
to me, that's one of the things that really sticks out is the whole isolation thing and actually going back into the closet. In this day and age now, how do people cope with that?
Well, with great difficulty. If you're in the unfortunate position where you have to find yourself in an institution, then there isn't an institution that will manage it. And one of our members of our collective is in a gerontology nurse, and there's a survey that is given to everybody who's wanting to go into aged care, and there are absolutely no questions in this highly regarded survey of 260 questions that ask about anything that would allow a person to say that they have a same-sex partner.
Yeah, nothing about sexual orientation, nothing about family of choice, nothing. 260 questions, internationally recognised instrument for assessing
needs. They
probably
ask them whether they have Marmite on their toast in the morning, but they don't ask them who they want to sleep in their bed with at night.
So why is that? And because, I mean,
homophobia, invisibility. Well, I mean, someone was saying this morning, you know, that John Keith thinks we should be grateful to him because he's not rolling back what I see as discrimination that we sustained under the Labor government. I'm going to talk tomorrow about how I think the Civil Unions Act is totally discriminatory and a booby prize, and we wouldn't accept any other group being placed in the position that the LGBTI community is placed in civil unions. Like, I'm a Jewish lesbian. Imagine if we said everyone in this country can get married but Jews, and Jews have to take civil unions. I would hope, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I would hope that people would really be upset about that. So what allows us to be the only ones, you know, Marilyn Weary talked about separate but equal. We, those of us who've come from the States, know, you know, they always said that segregation was separate but equal, but when you looked at the reality, there was nothing equal about it, and there is nothing equal about civil unions in this country. As a matter of fact, my belief is the only reason they've given us any of this is almost like a neoconservative thing. They want to, you know, instead of us looking to the state for a benefit, we have to look to our partners for spousal maintenance. Instead of looking to the state, we look to our partners to divide up property. Okay, you know, we look to our partners to pay child support. There's nothing wrong with that, but give us full equality. Don't give us, you know, the parts that are the responsibility parts, and you don't give us any of the rights. You know, and I think that that's the problem. And I really, like, I resent that the Human Rights Commission supported the Civil Unions Act. Of all of the groups that should have stood for human rights for LGBTI communities, it was the Human Rights Commission. And, you know, I mean, the wonderful thing about gay men in 1986, prior to 1986, is there was a refusal to accept a differential in the age of consent. They said, no, we're not taking incrementalism. This is our right as human beings. And we should have learned something from that. Civil unions is a kind of incremental thing. But guess what? Nobody's going to relook at it again. So, and it made some sense when no other country's married. But we have the most perverse situation, which is people can marry in Canada now, and when they come home, their relationships are treated as civil unions, so they get less. Whereas, I don't know if you realize, but if you marry as a polygamous couple in a country where polygamy is allowed, your polygamous marriage is recognized in New Zealand. But if you marry in Canada, where same-sex marriages are legal, your same-sex marriage is recognized as a civil union, not as a marriage. So, I mean, I'm not against... I mean, just look at the disparity in that. And strangely enough, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to at all, but transsexuals can marry in the sex of their nominated, as long as they hold themselves out as heterosexual couples, you know, and that's the phrase of the law, hold themselves out to be heterosexual couples. Well, aren't we trying to sabotage that kind of binary?
So I guess in years to come, when there will be either civil unioned or married gay and lesbian couples aging, aged care premises, we'll need to address that issue, won't they, at some point?
We're doing it already. It's not
but
years to come.
They're not addressing it.
They're just not addressing it.
I think we confront ageism as well as homophobia, because people don't want to acknowledge that anyone who's old might have any sort of sexual life, let alone someone with a same-sex partner. So I think it's... not only, actually someone said to me after our presentation this morning, you know, one of the issues is that it costs more for them to make a room big enough for a double bed.
But I think there's also...
And to buy a double bed. So, you know, there's that whole issue of ageism.
But
ageism in the LGBT community too, that has to be confronted, I think.
I guess, though, like with sexuality, it's not just about sex. And for some people, it's about their whole being. So
commitment, yeah. But, you know, like we were hearing from this woman who presented after us in Australia, and I'm not quite sure how it's done there, but like 30 or 40% of all Australian, I would think it's true here as well, are church-based retirement places. And so you're absolutely opting in to, like, I would rather, you know, that they didn't pay those people, that they actually gave to more secular-based, more inclusive retirement places. If we had money, we would put this together. We could. It's the lesbians are poor, lesbians are invisible, nobody wants to be old, you know, in even the gay or lesbian community. And
well, actually, and I apologise for cutting you off before when you were about to talk about ageism in the lesbian and gay community. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, youth culture, you see it all the time. And you know, the lesbian community, just because of the kind of economics, the gender economics, tends to earn less money. And especially if many of us have children too, you know, that there's a kind of difference now. For many of us older lesbians, we brought our children into our community, and so there's all of that. I just think that I think there is a lot of ageism and in our communities, a lot of extolling of the young and the beautiful.
It came up as a very brief part of the conversation after the workshop this morning, when one of our group said, how many of you feel old or believe would label yourself as old? And nobody wanted to say that they were old, even though they might be in their 60s or even 70s. Nobody wanted to say that they were old.
Kiss of death to be old,
yeah.
You know.
So. And so, yeah. I think it does exist there, and I think when we've been at the big gay out and had a stall, people who have come to talk and look at some of the stuff we're doing and some of the planning, which is really best if people look at forming a community probably from their 40s and 50s onward, people just are afraid to look at that whole time of their life.
Well, to give you an example, like we put in this abstract at the conference, and they put us on a stream called Other. So we said to them, bad enough to be invisible in the straight world, but really, you know, one expects that when you're coming to a LGBTI human rights conference that you might not be othered, right? So immediately. And I pointed out, I said, you know, it's not just drug and alcohol and HIV that are the well-being issues in our communities. But so then we got, they rearranged. We're well-being too, so we feel better, you know. But that's just an example. Like a student, you know, I mean, we're all going to age. It's not actually an other situation. It's like in every person it's going to age, right?
But we're all going to be old if we're lucky.
And you see, the government reports all call for people staying within the community. Well, we want to stay within the community, and we think there are analogies already developed in Aotearoa. There's Papakainga housing. We can't even get money to get a needs assessment together. Worse than that, there are gay and lesbian gerontologists, and it just isn't the flavor of the month even for them to do this work. And so, or there's no money in it, you know, that's a problem.
So who's preventing it from happening?
Well, I think this is, it's a human rights issue. The Yogyakarta principles make it really clear that affordable housing, access to affordable housing for us, and access to quality health care, these are basic
that
human rights.
Your dignity.
Yeah, these are basic human rights principles. First and foremost, it's a government that could fund this, or at least make a commitment to. Imagine having a consultation with our communities, but no, they haven't done anything like that. So, I think it. I mean, we could start on individual levels, but let's take it up to really the place where maybe this should be, you know, because we want affordable housing too. So not, you know, there are a lot of lesbians who won't have the money to buy into Greylin, right? And so it needs to be open to all women with every class.
So on a positive note, yes. the collective, tell me about that.
Right. Well, we've been meeting for 4 or 5 years. We have plans. We have quite an active core group and more than 100 other people who are on the list. We have a website and
incorporation,
and the top twins as our patrons.
So
the reality and the possibility are there. We already are a community who support one another, but who live scattered throughout Auckland and a few further north. And we are really actively trying to work towards having a sustainable community in which we can live, so having the bricks and mortar and the land as well, but already we have a community which is
it's a
virtual community, yeah.
And anyway, it is positive. Us bringing this to the conference and beginning a conversation which must happen is a really positive step. So we're feeling really pleased that this is... Of course, we had a lot of people at the workshop
a lot of people who are interested from other parts of the country and who will stay in touch, and some possible seeds of maybe getting some move towards the needs assessment. So, yeah.
So
I think just beginning
positive.
To talk and beginning to... make the unspeakable speakable.
And I think that's what we thought, if that could happen, if we could even begin to, you know, we were talking about this, what is the function of the state? It's to enhance citizens' dignity. We are the citizens, just like the rest of them. And, you know, that's the state should take steps to enhance our dignity. That's the whole human rights take on law and the function of the state. So,
and I think it's good, we didn't actually say this at the workshop, but it's good for us to know that as this community and collective of old lesbians, however we wish, but I'd like to describe us that way, we go on hikes, a group of us walk the Tongariro Crossing, we do things together that are not all old focused things in the traditional sense of the word. So yeah, we do things together and we enjoy things together and we live there.
Just one final question before the caucuses begin. If we skip forward 30 years and somebody's listening back to this recording in 30 years time, what would you say to them?
I hope that in every sizable community in New Zealand, apart from Aotearoa, apart from anywhere else, there is a real village, maybe mud brick or bricks and mortar, or wood.
Sustainable, affordable.
Where lesbians can live together and support one another when they are old.
And be safe. And I'd like people 30 years from now to ask themselves, what did you do to make this happen? Did you envision that we could have this kind of reality? And what was done to make it happen? And if it never happened, you know, it was so sad to hear Marilyn today say she hoped she lived. Oh, there she is. She hoped she lived that long. Well, you know, I intend to live that long, and I would like people to be accountable for what is the next step. I want to ask you, 30 years from now, did you drive us back into the closet, or did you revel in our old age? You know, did you help us celebrate old age, or do we have to go hide? I don't want to hide anymore. You know, it was so bloody hard coming out in 1978. I don't intend to go hide anymore, you know. And we did all of that stuff. And I hope that people will still respect us and not see us as just into labels. You know, I hope that those labels of lesbian and gay don't just evaporate away. You know, it's a postmodern world, but some of the, you know, we have to honor those people who went before.